how alone I was feeling.
Oh, say it to him now.
And the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, I was covering up the secret tears I cried. Then one day, someone told me of your mercy, how you showed your love on a hill called Calvary. There you died and you purchased my salvation. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't it good to be back in the house of God this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? How many of you thought we just took an incredible journey in the Word of the Lord last night? So good. Do you appreciate the Word of God? I'm certain that you do this morning. Let's look at our prayer requests. We got just a few. Brother Terry Stockton, they're asking that we would pray for his mother. Also, please pray for Betty Gross, who just had knee surgery and has got a staph infection. Also, remember Deborah Pryor, who has back problems. That's Brother Tracy's, Brother Terry's sister. So let's remember that need this morning. Brother Baker wants to thank the Lord for touching his foot. I'm not 100%, but I am getting better. And he just wants to praise the Lord for all the times that the Lord has touched his body. Brother Matthew Carter wants us to pray for a special unspoken prayer request for Brother Mark Carter. Let's remember that need as we pray. Brother Jerry Glenn sends this in to please pray for James Bryson. He has to have open heart surgery on Monday. Also pray for Cheyenne Button. She's the daughter of a man that I work with. She was on the bus wreck where 28 students of David Crockett High School was all on, more than that on the bus, but I think 28 of them was taken to the hospital. She's in serious condition. Also pray for all those that were in the accident. So we want to remember that need this morning as we pray. Testimony from Sister Mary Lewis. Last night in service, the Lord delivered me from things that I have wrestled with all of my life. I've been praising the Lord for doing this for me, and I want to give this testimony for the glory of God, to the glory of God, to give the devil a black eye. Marvelous are his ways. He is faithful and true, and by his stripes I am healed. Praise the Lord. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Now this is a letter from Brother Anwar Haved that was sent to Brother Barry Coffey, and they forwarded this on to the library. It's just a little bit lengthy, but I want to take the time to read it to the best of my ability so that you'll just know the severity of what's going on in Pakistan. It was a scary day today here in Pakistan. Christians around Pakistan remained prayerful and alert the whole day because of violent protests of Muslim mobs on national protests against the insulting film on Islam. Police and security agencies have failed to control the situation. Furious mobs burn police mobiles, cinema houses, and private property on their way to, in all big and small cities, and a church building with a pastor house in Mardan. 19 people have gotten killed, including policemen, journalists, security guards, and protesters themselves. Our God is taking care of us, including all believers and Christians in Pakistan. Glory to God. Mobs also have passed by our street, and we were up on the roof rather than staying in our rooms. But after a loud shouting and chanting slogans, they passed by. Thanks be to God. I made a phone call to Pastor Samuel Joseph to know his situation and his family after knowing that a church has been burnt to ashes in Mardan. He said that God saved his family as they locked their gates and 16 policemen were standing alert outside the church gate. Brother Jim Crook had visited this church back in 2006. He told that they went across the next roof and went away with his wife and children from church compound as the mobs got mad and started burning a nearby church, which was on the main road. They burned a church, which was an old Lutheran church that has only 200 to 300 yards away from Brother Samuel's church. Brother Samuel and his family have gone underground to save their lives, and police are posted outside and inside the church compound. Please remember our brother and his family in your special prayers, as well as all the message churches and the Christians in Pakistan, that our Lord may provide them care and safety. Amen. Churches and saints in Pakistan will continue praying for God's grace in this turmoil. Thanks, and God bless you, yours and him. Well, we stand here free this morning to worship the Lord, and we just, our hearts, our thoughts want to go to these people and people around the world that we don't even know about, that they're paying a great price to assemble to worship the Lord. How thankful we should be. How thankful we should be to our Lord for what he's done for us. God is so mindful and so good to us. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. Brother Daniel, if you'll come at this time, lead us to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite his presence into this service. I believe the Lord's going to bless us with a wonderful, wonderful time here today. Let's join our brother in prayer as we pray today.
Let's all of us pray together. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne this morning, knowing, God, that there's nothing impossible with you. God, that you said you'd be with us and keep us. Oh, God, we think of those in foreign countries this morning. God, that's under persecution. We pray, God, that your hand will be upon them. Heavenly Father, we pray for each one in this service today. God, you hear the requests, the needs of the people, knowing, God, that your hands are not too short. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll move for them, Heavenly Father. God, we thank you for the service that we was in last night. We thank you for how your spirit came down. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll move again this morning. Move among the people. God, for our visitors that's with us, we pray that you bless them. For those over the internets and tapes, we pray that you move for them, Heavenly Father. God, we commit everything into your hands, knowing, Lord, that you can do anything that we ask. We praise you, God. Have your way now, Lord Jesus. We'll give you the praise. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we're going to receive the morning tithe and offering. If there's any way possible, if you can tighten up the area on your pew, we've still got folks coming in. We've got about all the chairs out that we can get. So if you can make room, and I'm certain somebody will appreciate that. Let me take the time to make this announcement just before we sing this morning. This is from Brother Michael Bailey. I would like to thank the Lord for the wonderful weather that he gave us in regard to the Fall Festival. Appreciate the Goad family for supplying all the equipment for the Fall Festival. Somebody say, thank you, Goad family. All the hard work the Sunday school teachers do, and everyone that helped to work at Booth, thank you. Say, thank you, Booth workers. And we thank Brother Donnie for allowing us to have it. Somebody say, thank you, Brother Donnie. Hope everyone had a good time, and if you did, say amen. Amen. Now let's give the Lord a big hand clap of praise this morning. And we said it last night, we'll say it again this morning. Brother Michael Bailey, every year he says, this is my last one, I've had it, I can't do it no more. And every year he keeps coming back, and it gets better every year. So, Brother Michael, to you and all the crew and all the people that was involved in that, I think everybody that was there had a wonderful, wonderful time. And so just thanks be to the Lord for letting us all gather together in unity and having a good time of fellowship. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little bit more of I'm Amazed. I really am amazed how that he could love me. All the aggravation I've caused him, he still loves me. Do you appreciate what he's done for you? Sing a verse of it, buddy.
It's true, there have been days when I have failed you. Lord, you know how many times I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness.
Oh, yes.
And your ear is open every time I pray.
That's right.
No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Other friends could never be as close to me. I'm not afraid to face my tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever need.
Oh, I'm amazed that you love me.
That you love me, Lord. The Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We're going to have a couple of specials. Brother Gary Stanky is going to come and give us another song this morning. Then Brother Harry, Brother Chuck, and Brother Joel are going to sing Through the Fire. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. I've got more singers and more songs than I'll ever be able to work in. So this is the route we're going to go today. But let me just say this. If you're visiting with us today, may God bless you. We're so honored that you would stop and be with us in service. God bless you for being here. All those that are streaming, our wonderful brothers and sisters from around the world, may God bless them. Could you say, God bless you?
God bless you.
Amen. Let's give Brother Gary a hand as he gets ready to sing this morning.
You know, we serve a great God. Oh, I'm so happy that He chose me to be a part of this end time bride. We heard about the Logos last night. But Lord, give me the Rhema's too. Amen. I believe the bride is coming to the place where she realizes who she really is, Miss Jesus Christ. And with that comes responsibility, but also He gives us authority. And I like to sing about that this morning. So many years I cried, 'cause my mind denied that He could save a wretch like me. So full of gloom and dread that I hung my head, I couldn't claim the victory. Then one day His love, like a spirit dove, settled down into my soul. And then I realized that He had authorized my token to eternal life. On the authority of His holy word, I'll rise up and take my stand. For I'm a blood-washed child of the living God, who is the great I am. And I'm an heir to all that heaven holds, and no principality can ever take away my royal crown, given all His authority. Now it's a mystery why He came to me, why He should choose me for His own, why He pulled me out of the lake of doubt, set me right beside His throne. He even guaranteed with His decree my inheritance, my right. I'm a special child that makes me smile. I'm ordained to eternal life on the authority of His holy word. I'll rise up and take my stand. I'm a blood-washed child of the living God, who is the great I am. And I'm an heir to all that heaven holds, and no principality can ever take away my royal crown, given on His authority. Oh, it's a mystery why He should come to me, why He should claim me for His own, why He pulled me out of that lake of doubt, set me right beside His throne. He even guaranteed with a sealed decree my inheritance, my life. I'm a special child that makes me smile. I'm ordained to eternal life on the authority of His holy word. I'll rise up and take my stand, for I'm a blood-washed child of the living God, who is the great I am. And I'm an heir to all that heaven holds, and no principality can ever take away my royal crown, given on His authority. I'm an heir to all that heaven holds, and no principality can ever take away my royal crown, given on His authority, given on His authority, given on His authority.
Times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Many times in trial, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. Well, it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. And as I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weaknesses made strong. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy, that the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing valley of decision, when the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up know within myself that I will surely perish. But if I trust the hand of God, He'll seal the flames again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but He said help would always come right on time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, every adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and He will take you through the fire again.
I know within myself that I will surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, He'll seal the flames again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, when the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and
He's so faithful for that. Amen. Amen. Let's turn today, if you would, Matthew chapter 14. Jesus not only saves us from fire, but from water. Troubles, trials, tests. Let's read today of a man being saved from water. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Or the word is waver. "Wherefore didst thou waver?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." Now let's read the statement that we read last night. Sometimes in reading, you'll strike a word, and that word becomes alive to you. That's the way a minister gets his message. Just start reading the Bible, something. First thing you know, you strike something, then something adds to that something. Something adds to that something, then underline it. Just go to the pulpit and read it, and God will do the rest of it. See, He'll take care of the rest of it. Let's bow our heads together today for prayer. I may like to be remembered today. You got something on your heart before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful today that we can call you our Father. We're thankful that we have been redeemed from this world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that though we were once darkness, but now are we light in the Lord. We ask today for your help, Father. We've come to this service. We believe that you are here with us because you told us that you would be. We do not believe that you are an onlooker or that you are here as a recording angel. But we believe you are here in the manifestation of your presence, that the essence of your being could pass through this building today. May we know you, Lord Jesus, in a deeper, more rich way than we've ever known you before. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to get out of the way and help the people to get out of the way. I confess before you, I can do nothing without you. May they, from the sincerity of their heart, be able to say the same. They will not be able to receive the word today. They'll not be able to understand it today without your help. Would you come, Lord Jesus? Would you speak to us? Would you anoint us, Lord? Would you make the word real to us, Father? In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Certainly appreciate each of you that are here today. Some of the visitors that are with us that came in for the fall festival, we certainly welcome y'all today. And appreciate Brother Michael and all the workers and everybody that did what they did in the fall festival to make it a pleasant time. I know there's so much work that's involved into it, and we appreciate all that. I'd like to speak to you today, again, if the Lord would help me, on Jesus and Rhema. I've always loved these passages here that we've read today, but looking at the Rhema word of God and the Logos word, this was on my heart last night when I got home, and then early this morning before daylight, whenever I woke up, it was there again. So I wanted to look at it and see what was in there for us today. I felt like that there was something that the Lord had for us in His Word. And we know that the Word always has things for us. But whenever it's real and it's quickened to you for the season, then it seems like it's the bounty of that just opens up in such an expression. And being able to see this passage of Scripture, these verses that tie together, it's a wonderful miracle, really, to see how that Peter was able to do something that none of the rest of the apostles did, as far as being able to walk on the water. But yet there's several things that are really wrong with the setting in this passage of Scripture. And that is, the first thing is, then the way that Peter approaches this. He does not simply want to the power of God, the supernatural of God, to be displayed, but he wants it to be displayed with him in the middle of it. Now, I want you to notice what that Peter says in verse 28. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, the characteristic of pushing himself to the front instead of one of the other brothers, by wanting himself to be the one in the forefront. We know Peter was like this. This was his human makeup. Aren't you glad God can use people like Peter? Amen. Now the rest of you ain't glad? I'm sure glad God can use all kinds of folks that have faults and failures and mistakes. Peter was well known for being this type of a person. He always sticking his foot in his mouth, as we would say. But yet, this, looking at this and knowing that when God gives a Rhema word, you know, it doesn't come from us telling him and then him telling us back. Now, I want you to notice the source of this word, where it actually originates from. It does not originate from the Lord Jesus himself. Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. So here Peter is desiring, if it is you, Lord, if, now watch this, Lord, if it is you, Lord, if it is you, if it is you. Now look at the mixture of faith and fear. He's got both there. Lord, if it is you, instead of saying, Lord, I know it's you. There's no question about it. It's you. He's not really certain. And then he says, if it is you, then you tell me to come. So notice who the originator of this is. It's not the Lord Jesus himself. But it is Peter that is actually telling the Lord to give him a command. Now, were this a rhema word, a word that was so full of life and power, it would be coupled with the faith of God and also the dunamis of God, so that there would have been no way for Peter to ever have failed on this commission. But because it was mixed with selfish motives, you're starting out wrong to begin with. Now, anything that we do, even under the auspices of the kingdom of God, to where it's really a selfish motive, friend, it'll never pan out right. No matter how much we put work and effort and all this, and if the motive is wrong and the objective is wrong, God will not put his full blessing on it. And the thing that's most important, I trust that we'll be able to realize before we leave this world, is that we find what God wants us to be and be as the Lord Jesus, as we read last night. I do that which only pleases the Father. Not me, not what I want to be. I want to be bigger than everybody else, greater than everybody else. There's something wrong with that attitude anyway. But to find that spot to where we can be exactly what he wants us to be, whether it's this big, that big, the size of an ink dot, or this size, that doesn't really matter. Just being what he wants is the greatest thing we could ever ask for. So here Peter projects himself, bid me to come. And let me do it. So he's telling Jesus, now Jesus, you tell me that I can come out to you. So now what's his motive? What's his objective? So the request itself is a very rash situation. Now, if Jesus beckons you out in the middle of the storm, and the winds are boisterous and the waves are blowing around, and Jesus beckons you and Jesus tells you to do it, there will be a God faith and a dunamis power with that promise that even if you waver, you will not fall. Because you were beckoned by the one who's released with that command the power to keep you afloat despite your shortcomings. But if we throw ourselves into things, even if it's supernatural, we throw ourselves into things and try to make it happen, it may work and it may not. Watch this now in verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now come, look at this word. This is a word from Jesus, but it's not God's faith or God's dunamis accompanied with this word. It's not a rhema promise. He's simply answering Peter what Peter asked for. I'll tell you, friends, whenever we're praying and praying and praying about a certain thing and God don't give it the way we want it, we might ought to start praying and change directions. Because sometimes we'll pray for things that's not the best what we need and God will give it, and then we wind up here. Oh my. Come on now, you know it's the truth. We've all done it. So Jesus turns around and he simply does what Peter said, and he said, come. Now, you know, God's power, whenever God's power is released with a divine promise, and it's not your faith coupled, it's not your faith that is coupled with rhema to make it work anyway. But rhema being that special selected portion of the Word of God, and it's not just a specific scripture at a specific time, but it's the allotment of God's faith with that promise and the power of God with that promise to make that promise come to pass, where it's totally impossible for that word to fail. It cannot fail because it's not based upon you. It's not based upon your faith, your faithfulness, your sturdiness, none of that. It is a word from God that will come to pass. There can be billions of people on the earth today that do not believe in a rapture. That will not even slow us down. They don't believe in a God. That don't make a bit of difference. It don't hinder him. And there's things in our life that the sovereignty of God has set in order that if you stand there and say, I don't think there's any way it will come to pass, it will come to pass whether or not you even believe it.
Because it's not based upon your faith. If it was, there'd be no bride. There'd be no faithful people. God, how would God hinge the entirety of His program on the feebleness of mankind? But there are things that God sets in order and God punctuates it with His own faith. This will be and that will be and that will be and nothing will stop it. That's my daddy I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Now what? So Christ simply gives a single answer. One word. Come. It's, you know, it's not a command. It's barely a sanction. So in order to take this now, here Peter steps out. But remember, the faithfulness or the fulfillment of this one word, come. Because Peter has projected himself. He does not need a rhema. All he needs is a logos, he thinks. He don't need no help from God in the supernatural sense of, well, I've got my own faith. I'll tell you one thing. I'm this and that and the other. You give me your word, glory to God. I'll do it. So he said, here you go. So Jesus just, whoosh. Boy, yes sir, it's all I needed. Come, man, I'm going to do it now. And he did. For a while. Now can't you see why that we fail many times in trying to achieve and accomplish supernatural things? Because we do it in pride and arrogance and self and vanity, and we will take our faith. All we need but is a promise. Yes sir, all I need is a quote. I'll tell you one thing, I'll do this and that and the other. Have you got on your life jacket? Logos, it don't tell you, but logos, many times you need a life jacket. Logos never fails. It's not logos that fails. It's our faith that fails with the logos. You understand? Now watch. So Jesus gives him what he asked for. So we have a momentary triumph that will end in total failure. Because he simply asked for a word. Don't give me a rhema. He done knew about rhemas. He knew about rhemas. But he didn't think he needed one. Don't you understand, friends, why many of us where we are? Because we've got such confidence in our old stinking flesh. We listen to so many tapes and we read the Bible. And man, I've been a Christian for so many years. So we thought, I don't need this supernatural stuff he's talking about. If you ever get out of this world, you're going to need it. That's exactly right. There is no way. It is set up by God where we cannot do this without supernatural intervention in our lives. So you imagine all the rest of the apostles, they're saying, they're just, my goodness, their eyes are big and soft. I can't believe it. Oh. He's doing it. He's doing it. Peter stepped out. Told you. When are you boys going to grow up and be like me? Am I the epitome of the discipleship or what? It's a wonder to me the Lord can do anything with any of us. Well, y'all's response is very weak, but it's the truth anyhow. Now watch, verse 30. But when he... You mean to tell me he didn't see this before he said it? Now the Bible does not say that the wind just started when he got out of the boat. The Bible does not say the waves just started when he got out of the boat. They were there. Can't you see how pride and arrogance and the flesh will do? That even in the spite of such things like this, man, it'll reach out there seemingly and really going to do something for God. But now once he gets out on the water, now he's actually in the middle of a miracle. He's in the middle of a miracle, but he's not doing it by rhema word. He's doing it by a logos from Christ with his faith attached to that logos. And it'll work as long as his faith holds out. So now here he is on the water. Man, that water was like this piece of plywood under my feet. just as hard as it can be, walking right across it. Can you imagine? I don't understand how in the world it could have happened. The waves are doing like this and they're just as boisterous. How in the world could that water be hard under his feet? And the waves are still moving and tossing around. He piles right out of that boat and here he goes. Whew, man alive, I'm the next one in command. When Jesus dies, I'll probably be in charge of the message. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. Man, poor old John, he don't know nothing. Bartholomew, the rest of them guys, they'll all have to answer to me now. I'm a sea walker. I'm a real man of God. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now this separates Logos from Rhema. A person who receives a Rhema word from God is absolutely reckless. People will look at them and think they're out of their mind because they are. They're not thinking. It don't even make sense what you're taking at God. You're taking God at His word. It don't even make sense. The doctor says you're going to die. The doctor says this. The doctor says whatever more. But you say, I don't care what you say with respect. God said, I'm going to be healed. And you got to get beyond your own thinking, your own senses. It's not rational. It don't make no sense at all. But a person who really takes the word, but yet faith, our human faith, with a Logos promise, will allow us to begin to look around. Amen. Have you ever been there when you're in the middle of a spot and you say, what am I doing here? Now, I can honestly say that I can really relate to the way Peter felt, because I've never walked on water. As you haven't. But I've been in similar situations to where I think, what have you got yourself into? Can you imagine him realizing now he's far enough out from the boat that he can't reach back and get the boat, but he's not close enough to Jesus where he can reach and get a hold of Jesus. And here he is thinking, what have I done this time? So he began to look around and the wind. And the waves are doing the same thing they did before. It's not like they've changed, but now he's realizing it. You see, a rhema word from God, but it just went right over the top, right down the swell, right back up the other side, right on. You ain't stopping me. I'm going right on. I ain't getting seasick. I ain't stopping. I'm going right on. But our faith with Logos, if the wind picks up and the waves get a little bit tough, oh, I'm not healed. I get a fever again. Oh, I feel worse. Oh, this is the greatest battle I've ever been. Oh, God, I ain't going to make it. I ain't going to make it. Ain't gonna make it. A Rhema Christian walking in Rhema word ain't gonna make it. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now notice what real Rhema faith does. It will never take its eyes off of Jesus. He wasn't looking at Jesus. He's looking at some of his websites. It's raising all kinds of questions about the validity of the message. He's looking at his symptoms or his pains or whatever more. That's the way our human faith will do. Even coupled with a real command. You understand, friends, what I'm saying? Now, we can take a genuine promise of God and couple our faith to that promise, and as long as our faith will endure, that promise will come to pass. But if our faith ever wavers away from the strength of that promise, the promise is true. It cannot fail. It's one of God's words, even if it is a Logos word, it's one of God's words, but the power in that promise is severed from us because our faith becomes weak. Notice this. Oh my. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now I want you to watch what happened here. As long as his faith in this command of Jesus, it held him up. It was a supernatural miracle. We know that. But he went down because he began to lose trust that Christ could hold him. And once he lost trust that Christ could do it, then the relevance of Christ's power was no longer a resource by which he could be saved from. Do you understand? If Satan cannot make you believe there is no God, oh, that's not what he wants from any of you. You're too smart for that anyway. You've been serving the Lord too long, but he'll try to convince you he don't love you, or he don't care for you, or he won't move for you. So what does that do? It works on your trust. And then that ties the hands of God to where God cannot move for us unless we trust him. Lord, help us. When he lost his trust, listen to this, Christ lost his power over Peter. When he lost his trust, he can only display his power over us when we trust. Remember, friends, our Lord Jesus is a perfect gentleman. If you do not want to go to heaven, he will not make you. If you do not want to live right, he will not make you. If you do not want to believe him and trust him, he will not make you. His power is not going to throw itself on you if you don't want it. Oh, but if you want it and you'll trust him, he'll display himself in such a wonderful way. But once Peter loses his trust, Jesus' power over Peter becomes powerless. What happens when he looks around and his trust goes? The supernatural power of God that was keeping him afloat left him. Jesus could no longer do it. How many times in our lives have we rendered the power of our God to where it was totally powerless because we lost trust? Now maybe you want to fight the devil in your power. I don't. Maybe you want to be a Christian without the Holy Ghost. I don't. I'm sorry. I can't. I just cannot live this kind of life without the power of God. Amen. Oh my. Now notice the mercy of the Lord. I'm so glad this is in the Bible, aren't you? You ever wonder why Matthew's the only one who wrote this? Mark doesn't mention it. Luke doesn't mention it. Neither does John. I'm glad Matthew had enough guts about him to write about faults in the ministry. Glory. Verse 31. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him. You imagine? His trust is going. It's happening little at a time. Little at a time. Said, oh, my Lord. Oh, what have I done? Oh, no. Here he goes. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Save me, Lord. And Jesus reaches immediately. Aren't you glad when we lose faith? That it don't say, you devil, I'll get you after the third time. I don't believe Peter ever went under. Oh, glory. I don't think he come up the third time by him spitting water and cat. Oh, no. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew. This is going to teach Peter a lesson he'd never forget. Now, no doubt Peter knew how to swim. If he'd have been asking to swim to Jesus, this would have been a different story. He'd been more familiar. This is his turf, swimming. He's a fisherman. But he asked to go to Jesus. Upright position. Vertical, not horizontal. So now he's asking to do something which is in Jesus' category, not Peter's. Now had he been swimming, you know, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. Peter would have reverted back to what he was taught as a boy. But now he's going down out of this vertical Jesus position. And the only way to be saved is call on Jesus. Since he's the master of this position. Glory to God. Amen. Do you realize, friends, as Peter began to reach out, even though his fear had gripped him so great, but even in the time of desperation, he was able to reach out, not in a great confidence of trust, but in fear. Thank God. Notice this. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him. And said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, had this been a rhema word from God, there would have been no faith of Peter required. If the Lord Jesus wanted me to walk on Watauga Lake and walk from one end to the other, now I don't mind telling you, that scared me. As a human being, absolutely, that scared me. But if Jesus gave me a rhema word, y'all come down there and watch me because I'll be walking this evening. Even if I was scared, it wouldn't matter. You say that it'll never happen. He'll drown shores of the world. I always knew he was a nut, whether you believe it or not. It won't matter. Hold to your seat. Whether I believe it or not, it won't matter. Because if it's a rhema word from God, it has God's faith with God's power and God's promise, which makes an absolute or absolutely impossible for it to fail. Remember the sister that come up in the prayer line and asked for prayer for a baby? Told Brother Branham she wanted a baby. Well, you know, months it didn't happen. A year it didn't happen, however long it was. She seen Brother Branham later and said, oh, Brother Branham, I'm so sorry. I doubt it. He said, what did God say? She said, well, God said thus and so and thus and so. He said, sister, whether you believe or not, you will have the child. Why? It was not based upon as you believe, as your faith is. Friends, don't you understand? As our faith is, as you have believed, that's your faith coupled with Logos. When he says it, it will come to pass. God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. This was Abraham's response. Abraham lost. And what did it mean to God? Nothing. God said then, because you've laughed, I want you to call your boy Isaac, which is laughter. Whether you believe me or not, Abraham, whether you believe me or not, Sarah, I have included you in my promise. Oh my. You know, Jesus never rebukes Peter for actually being real brash and bold. And he don't rebuke him even for the vanity of his pride. He doesn't rebuke him for wanting to be set before his brothers. But he rebukes him for having a little faith. Let's look again at another passage, if you would, in Mark chapter 5, verse 27. The woman with the issue of blood. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now remember, in the New Testament, they had not been tainted with corrupt teaching and tradition about divine healing. Because for the most part, the Old Testament gave very few examples, and most of them probably didn't have the Old Testament or access to read it anyway. And because this is just ushering in the realm of the supernatural, Satan had not yet had time to contaminate their faith or contaminate their understanding of supernatural. So they were virgin, as it were, virgin territory, virgin spots, virgin hearts when it come to receiving the word. So many of these people heard it. They simply believed it. They didn't sit there and, you know, sort through, well, what about this and what about this and what about that and what about that the way we do now. Because we've had years and years and years of traditional teaching. Some of you don't know if God still does it or not. Some of you's not real sure. Some of you believe that he can, but you're not sure he'll do it for you. But this time, these people sat down and they just said, I believe it. This woman did not have a logos. She did not have a written scripture. But she simply said, if I can touch this man's garment, I'll be made whole. My Lord, children, if she could do that without a promise, what about all that's been left to us? Oh. Think of it. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment, for she said, not he said now, she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Not touched. Whole. I don't want to just be touched. I want to be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body, glory, that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself, look at this word now, that virtue. Look what virtue is. The Greek word dunamis, which is where we get our English word dynamite. So Jesus knew in himself that dunamis had gone out of him. Now remember, no written word, no logos. She didn't even have a rhema. She had faith. But her faith was so pure and so focused. This type of faith demands an expression of dunamis. Lord Jesus. This kind of pure faith, it's unadulterated now, not mixed with tradition, what mama said and grandpa said and my second cousin's third wife's 14th cousins, nephews, brothers, sister-in-law said, they heard so-and-so said, no, it's nothing to do with none of that. She believed in her heart, if I can just come up and touch him. Now he's a rabbi. According to the Levitical order, no woman with an issue of blood is to touch a man like this. Looked like she broke even the very teaching of the law. Looked like, you think she'd ever come up and touch Caiaphas and them high priests? Wouldn't do no good, no way. Might as well touch that pulpit there to touch them guys. They had no dunamis. They had all logos, 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 logos. The prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said. But they didn't have no dynamite. Come on now. They had all kinds of building programs and all kinds of this, that, and other, but they didn't have no power to set nobody free. Amen. But she said, if I can just get up and get close enough to touch that man's garment. And when she did, her faith reached over and got a hold to the hem of his garment. And when that faith touched Jesus, the Logos, dunamis started pouring out of the Word. Dunamis started pouring out of the Word. And here this woman had suffered all these things for years. And she had this bloody issue out of her body. Immediately, it stopped. Why? She released the power of God. Her own faith, Lord, children, her own faith released the power of God. And Jesus didn't even know what was going on. But of course, we're deeper than that now. We can discuss all the theologies and all the wherefores and the whys, but can we touch him? Can we touch him in the time of need? Theology is a great thing. I love to study the Word. I love to know words and the meanings of words. I've always been a curious person. When I read a word I don't understand, I want to find out what it is. So I always go to looking at, oh, that's fine. But I don't never want to get to a spot that I can't reach out and touch Jesus. And let my faith grab a hold to the hem of his garment and know he loves me just as much as he did that woman. And that I would be able to draw from his being again the dunamis that I need to live this word. Now watch. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue. I love this word. We've looked at it many times, I know, but look at the meaning of it. Power, mighty work, strength, ability, inherit power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. Power for performing miracles. So the woman's faith grabbed a hold of Jesus' garment, and when her faith contacted him, the flow of dunamis started coming directly from him through them clothes. Lord, have mercy. And inside of her body, something, the creative power of God, went straight into these woman female problems, and it started creating and get rid of this. Did God operate on her? I don't know what God done, but God fixed her. And the blood dried up the issue, and it happened at such a rapid pace that the woman knew, I'm healed. I'm healed. Her faith was so pure, so untouched, so untraditionalized by theology that she was able to grab a hold to dunamis and not let go till dunamis healed her. Now look at Jesus' response, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Amen. And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched thee? Brother Bram said, they told him, Lord, don't say that. They'll think there's something wrong with you. They already think you're a little messed up whenever you said, eat my flesh and drink of my blood. Lord, don't say that. You imagine people all over and people touching. Oh, Rabbi, heal my baby. Rabbi, do this, that, the other. People everywhere. When he says this, the disciples say, are you kidding me? There's people all over you. They're killing us to get to you. We're trying our best to keep them away from you. He said, but it was a different touch. They was touching by an intellectual conception. She touched by real faith. And I feel weak. Lord Jesus. The disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. I'll tell you one thing. I hope he finds me guilty of doing some of these things. Don't you? Oh, I hope today he finds me guilty right here in this place. And he looks around to find, who was it that touched me? Was that Donnie that drained me? Was it Jimmy? Was it Linda? Who was it that touched me? Somebody at Happy Valley on Sunday morning, they touched me. I felt dunamis go out of me. I felt miraculous power. Who was it? Lord, let it be me. Is that the way you feel? Let it be me, Lord. So he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, remember him saying last night, son? Notice he didn't call her Pharisee, Sadducee, Jew, Samaritan, Gentile. He called her by relation. Woo! Glory! Daughter! Thy face! Not my face. Thy face hath made thee whole. Now she's nervous. She's tore all two pieces. I mean, now she's, oh God, what have I done? What have I done? And you imagine Jesus looking around. All right, who touched me? She knows it's her. I mean, she's guilty. She knows it's her. So she's standing there waiting. And then all of a sudden she comes out shaking and trembling. And Jesus says, daughter. Oh, boy, that was close. More soothing thing could have been said in such a time. Don't you understand? That's why he wants our relationship to him as sons and daughters of God to be a prevalent thing in our mind, even in spite of our failures, in spite of our mistakes. If you go to him in a failure, he ain't going to say, you serpent seed, you Judas Iscariot, but he'll speak to you on your relationship. You are my child. I forgive you. I love you because you are mine. Little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. Who? Little children. And he said unto her, daughter, thy face has made thee whole. This is a compound word, whole. That is, continue to be whole. She was already cured. Now the work is a work of progress. Now she has his word with her face. And the unfolding of that word will continue to straighten up every other side effect, every symptom in this woman's body. Now the glory to God. The stream of her blood is dried up, but maybe there's other symptoms that's still there. She's anemia, or she's got this, or she's got that. But Jesus says, I'll go ahead and finish this work. Be made whole. Don't just stop getting touched. I don't want enough religion to make me miserable. I don't want enough religion to make me quit drinking or smoking. I want enough of the Holy Ghost to make me like Jesus. I don't want to get touched. I want to be made whole. Thy face has made thee whole. Go in Shalom. Friends, do you understand? He is not speaking just of her body. He has now set her soul free. Her faith released the dunamis of God, not only for her body, but in her soul. Peace has nothing to do with the issue of blood. Peace has nothing to do with her body, but Jesus releases to her, because of her faith, peace. Go in peace. Lord Jesus, and be whole of thy plague. Now watch this in Matthew chapter 10 verse 5. You realize that when the disciples were commissioned to go out, and for whatever reason that Jesus decided to send the disciples out on an early ministry mission without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why he chose to do that, I'm not really sure. But yet he wanted them to go out and to start proclaiming the gospel. So he calls them out two by two by two, and he sends them out in Matthew chapter 10. Whenever he sends them out, now remember, they're not converted, they don't have the Holy Ghost, and they understand very little about the new thing that God is doing. So Jesus must give them something that will be able to prove that he is with them and the truth that they're saying is actually believable. So Jesus gives them a rhema word. Now, you don't just back everybody. All right, everybody get a bunch of tapes and everybody get you a bunch of books and go out on your arm and go out and set up in every one of these cities, set up a library and start reading to the people these quotes out of the prophet Isaiah and read to them Jeremiah and read to them Ezekiel and tell them. No, that wasn't what he done. If that would have worked, that's what he would have done. If it didn't work then, it won't work now. The gospel is not just teaching the word, but it's demonstrating the power of God. Don't get quiet on me now. Now watch this in Matthew chapter 10 verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. Now watch. They're going to go forth and represent him. How can they do it without a new birth? How can they display the power of God when they themselves are not yet converted, and they couldn't be until the very Zoe of God came out of him on the cross? But he sends them out under a rhema command. A rhema command. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded. Charge to transmit a message along from one to another, to declare, announce. Commanded them, saying, go not the way of the Gentiles, and any of the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. How can you cast out a devil if you don't have the stronger than he living in you? But he must compensate for this, knowing they do not have that indwelling presence. So he gives them a rhema. With the rhema comes the power they lack in their experience. How could these men go and cast out devils when they're not born again? How could they go and heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and raise the dead, defy death itself? Unless the resurrector gave them a commandment with the association of life. He is doing what I'm saying. His very command. It was just not go out and do, go out and do, go out and do, go out and do. But with that go out and do came an authority. And the demons all around the local vicinity recognize that authority. Now, if they would have took Logos, they'd have went out and said, Lord, we come back and we had this minister's meeting over here. I believe we convinced a few people. I believe we tied them in knots. We took them words and them quotes. I'm telling you what, man, by the time we got done explaining to them, there was a message. Oh, boy. I mean, they're so convinced. They said, don't go that way. Here's my command with my faith and my dunamis. It's like a pyramid. The promise, my faith, and my dunamis. I'll compact it all together and I'll give it to you under this charge. Go heal the sick, preach the gospel, cast out devils, and raise the dead. You imagine them as they go out two by two and say, who does he think we are? It's not who he thinks they are. It's who he knows he is. Oh, glory. We say, who in the world does he think? Well, that's not the important thing. He knows who he is. This is why he can have such confidence and say, in the worst age that's ever been, there will be a bride without a spot, without a wrinkle, without any such thing. Notice how Luke records the same thing in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them dunamis. Gave them dunamis. And they didn't have the Holy Ghost. So he gave them dunamis and exousia. Authority. Right. Jurisdiction, power of rule or government. The power of whom, whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. So here, none of these guys are born again. None of them have the Holy Ghost. They're going to come in contact with demons that are professional demons. But they've been given dunamis and they've been given exousia. On what? A rhema word. Not by their own experience, not by their new birth, not by none of that. But Jesus said, go do it. And his faith went with them. So you imagine they come up and there's a guy with epilepsy and they go over there, maybe in the human part, they're scared to death. There's God ripping and tearing and carrying on. And they go over and one of them, Peter, James, John, whichever it was, and they begin to speak with him with a voice like he never even thought possible. And that demon and that boy, that tearing and ripping and foaming at the mouth, and that demon says, was that Jesus? It looks like Peter. But I think I heard Jesus. You imagine Peter again saying, I say unto you, leave this boy. And that devil down that boy, devil said, I'm out of here. That sounded like Jesus. Children, don't you understand? As long as he hears our voice saying the Logos, that'll only go so far. But if he hears you quoting the word, the Rhema, it's actually not you. It's your Father. It's the Spirit of your Father taking that word and making that word live. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over a few headache devils and little sniffle devils and maybe a flu devil every now and then. Listen to scripture. Over all. There was not a one that they could come in contact with if the people believed that they couldn't perform the supernatural. But it was not them. It was Rhema. Given to them under this command of God. Go and do it in my name. Oh, how real it could be today if preachers in the message could understand. It's not your great gift. It's not how great you are and what a wonderful preacher you are. It's not to glorify no preacher. It's for preachers to get out of the way and let Jesus Christ do this through us. Not for us to take the glory. Not for us to take the honor. Just make ourselves a vessel. Just make ourselves a vessel where he can do it through us. Notice in verse 2 of Luke, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, nor money, neither have two coats apiece. Whatsoever house you enter into, thou abide, and thence depart. Whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Notice this. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. It's totally impossible for a rhema from God to a believer to ever fail. The angel comes to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing. How in the world the English translators got this, I'll never understand. They look at the Greek word rhema and they write down the word nothing. For with God, rhema shall be impossible not to come to pass. For rhema word has the indwelling dunamis to make it come to pass. Look at this. No word or nothing in the Greek. If you go to the Greek, akruma. Rhema brings out the single item. The single item. Rather than the whole content, the Logos. So the Rhema is pointing something. Notice now, here is a virgin that's going to bring forth the body of God. And it's not by repeating of Logos. No doubt she said in the church, we know she did because the prophet tells us she did. And she'd heard the priest read that scripture and talk about how great it was. She did not receive Rhema from hearing the prophecies of Isaiah. But the angel of the Lord came and made it so real to her. Glory to God. Now watch how this parallels to Sarah in Genesis chapter 18 verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, I of a surety bear a child, which am old. I hear God out here in Abraham washing his feet, fixing him a calf sandwich, giving him a glass of milk. God said, I'm going to visit you according to the time of life. And Sarah was back in the tent. And God said, how come Sarah laughed? I said, I never laughed. Liar. What a message, folks. You know? You don't have to be a liar to be in the message, but it helps with a lot of folks, I think. A lot of the ones I've dealt with sure are liars. Well, glory. Why didn't God kill her? Because the rhema had done went from his mouth. He called her name. And he can't take it back. He can't rewind the tape. And say, you'll be a father, but I'm not sure who the mother will be. The rhema had went out of the mouth of God. He knew Sarah would laugh. Abraham had already laughed. But why? God had determined it. Don't you see, friend, how God looks at us and our human frailty as he did to Peter. He looks at you and I the same way. Our faith can be so strong at times, and other times it's as shaken as it can be. And he knows that. That's why he must pronounce certain things for us himself. Oh, glory to God. He will spend our entire life getting our confession to match what he's already said. Notice the rhema goes out of God's mouth. I will make you a father. And Sarah will be a mother. And the bride, Sarah was back in the tent. And she laughed and said, me, a 2,000-year-old bride. How can I ever bring forth a son? I do good to make it back to church on Wednesday night.
Some of you don't do that, do you?
How can I ever in this evil day bring forth the word? God must have been thinking about somebody else.
I absolutely love the Lord's response. Lord Jesus. And the Lord said, Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I have a surety bear a child which I'm old? Is he the same? Too hard for Adonai.
Notice where he immediately, Brother Skip, sends the focus back to himself.
Lord, children.
Hallelujah. He didn't point it to Abraham's faithfulness or Sarah's faithfulness. He said, wait a minute. You're not focusing on the right thing. Is there anything too hard for me? Now, this is the Lord asking this question about the Lord. Notice it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which is Adonai.
You imagine God saying this about himself. Is there anything too hard for Adonai?
At the time appointed, I will. I will. Not according to your faith, as you have believed, so be it unto you, I will. It's already determined. It's already set. It's already spoken. I will. Glory. This is not a logos. This is not something that his faith will be coupled to it. I will.
I will return unto thee according to the time of life. And Sarah if she believes, if she fasts 3 times a week and goes to Ramadan and she does all this and does all that, and Sarah shall have a son. So go ahead and laugh. Go ahead and fluster. You'll come to yourself. That's why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, Sarah herself received dunamis to conceive seed of him of whom it was said his body was dead. Sarah received dunamis, strength. She didn't receive more logos. She received dunamis. Friends, it ain't going to be a magic sermon. You're going to hear some preacher preach at some camp meeting somewhere. It ain't going to be a preacher. You're going to go over on his website and click and, oh my, there it is. That's the rapture. That's the rapture. No. The bride is going to receive strength. They ain't going to find some new tape somewhere in Jefferson. Thank God for every one of the new ones they find. But they're not going to find one that's got some magical, mystical power that all the bride will listen to it. Wham! There it'll be. That's totally contrary to the types in the Bible. It must be that you and I receive strength. Not more logos, not more logos. And what comes to strength? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the remas of God.
Lord Jesus. Now notice Mary's response, and we'll close. In Luke 1:38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy rhema. This is all you have to do. Amen.
And we're not talking about not living right now, not doing things in the Word. This is a separate thing. A character and all that and the behaving the Word, the principles of all that. This, I'm talking about believing God's Word. When a rhema comes to you, all you do, Peter, is take your net and cast it over on the right side. John and James and Bartholomew and all the rest of them don't have to go down the Sea of Galilee and hold their breath and see if they can paddle through the water and run a school of fish into your net. All you got to do is cast the net over and Jesus will fill it up. So Mary heard this rhema from this angel and she responds and says, be it unto me according to thy rhema. And the angel departed from her. Let me close with this. Law of grace, Brother Bram says, you know, Sunday, how we got into it, when God speaks, it has to be so. There's no way at all to get away from it. God said, let there be night, and it has to be nothing. The very word itself, and the word was a thought. And God, before, a word is an expression of a thought. God thought it in his mind, spoke it into existence. When we have faith in our heart, the faith of God in our heart, and can see it clear, it becomes a faith. Then we speak it. And it comes into existence. That's pretty heavy, ain't it? So this is what you're demanding us, is it? No, I'm not demanding this of you. This is what God says, not me. I haven't preached a message called Law of Grace. This is from your prophet. I don't have any books in print. These are from his. Y'all believe him or not? Notice. It becomes faith. We speak and it comes into existence. The same thing. Because the mind of Christ is in the man. That's what makes healings and so forth. When you get that perfect revelation. Perfect revelation. Just what you're doing. Then you know how to walk. That's it. That's the Christian walk. Let's stand. Let me read this and tell you from why we're not a denomination. When you let your faith run out to its end, till you begin to believe, then your subconscious go to acting. Now watch, your faith will come out and go to its end. Then your subconscious will go to acting. Then the face of God will back it up. You'll go right on out because your face won't do too much. Your subconscious has to move in the direction that your faith is moving. Then God's faith moves in behind and confirms it all, see? But if it's your faith, oh yes, I got it right now. Even in your subconscious, rolling back here saying, I wonder if it'll work on me. It won't work right. You see what happens to us? Oh, I know God's a healer. I know he is. So he said, you've already tried that. How many times have you already done that? You quoted the words, you quoted the words, you quoted the words, and yet here you are sicker than you ever was. That's that man down in the engine room talking back, see? But if you let your faith run out to the end, you say, now Lord, I can't do this. I need you to help me. I think my faith has just about come to the edge of the door. If you don't come on, Jesus, we're going to be in a mess of trouble. I'm going to be water up to here. I need your faith to back me up. I confess, I can't do it. Why is that hard on us, children? If Jesus himself could say, I can do nothing, why is it hard for us? Pride. That's why Jesus didn't have it. Jesus didn't have pride. Oh, no. You believe Brother Bram had great faith? Let's see what he said about it. Door to the Heart Brothers, Phoenix, 1960. My faith is no good. The faith of God is what we need. God's faith in us. My faith is no good. And your faith is no good. It takes Christ to come in and stand in that door of faith and be Lord. Lord. Over your faith. Many of you have given him Lord of your entertainment. You've made him Lord of your music. You've made him Lord of so many things. But many of you Christians have never made him Lord of your faith. You're still proud and arrogant and I believe and I know and I believe. No, you've got to get rid of that.
Well, thank the Lord. You love Him?
Amen.
You believe it's the truth?
Yes, sir.
Let's bow our heads again, if you would. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, I want to say before You and these people and whoever around the world will hear this, Father, my faith is no good. My faith cannot produce a rapture. My faith cannot produce a body change. For years, I think we've tried to build our faith to a place where it would do it. And we're absolutely trying to build something that's impossible. Because it's not so much our faith anyway. It was Your faith. I will visit Sarah and she will bring forth a son. I will visit the bride and she will be in a rapture. The day of the rapture, we may be at some of the weakest times in our life. Some of these people, if they'd be honest, they'd have to stand here tonight and say they've been through some of the hardest times in their life in the last few years. Some of their faith has been shaken to the very core. But yet when You told Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. That's the thing, Lord. That's the thing. May You help Your children today, Lord God. Forgive us of our wavering. Forgive us for our pride of beckoning You to speak us out on the water. Forgive us when we get out on the water. My, I've had many of those trips myself, no doubt. And then I go to look around at the wind and the waves, get scared and frightened. You and Your mercy reach down and pick us up. How many of us, Lord, have had aborted sea walks in our lives? We've ventured out to do this and to conquer that and to try something else. And many of them is left in failure. Forgive us, Lord, of our vanity. No doubt Peter never forgot that. There's not a doubt in my mind. The rest of the apostles never let him forget it either. Because as human beings, we tend to remind one another of one another's failings. But it's nowhere recorded in the Scripture where You ever publicly reminded Peter of that failure again. So You helped him out of it and wanted him to move on. Help us today, Lord Jesus, to do the same. Grant it, Lord God. We love You, Father. I need Your faith, Lord. With my faith, being a Christian now, Lord, for 40-some years, I've learned to control my faith. I've learned to control my spirit, my mind. I've learned to control much about me as a human being. But I do not to this day. I have never learned one principle in understanding how to control the faith of God. It comes when we least expect it. We will struggle and struggle and try to have it in the time of desperation and seem like it's a million miles from us. Then other times when we're not even looking for it, all of a sudden it just drops right there and we know it's there. It's going to happen. There ain't no question about it. And it leaves as quick as it came and we're left in a state of bewilderment because we don't know how to control it. That's the way You set it up, Lord. But I will tell You this, sir. I want more and more of these in my life. I don't think there's a Christian standing here, Lord, that wouldn't say they wanted more of this word to be made alive to them. More remas in their walk. When they don't know what to say, they don't know how to answer, but all of a sudden the Spirit of their Father from within them gives them the right word to say. Lord, help us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody in here join with me today in this feeling? Would you raise your hand to God? Hey, Lord, be mindful of me, would you? If you're here today and you're standing outside the boat, you about grounded, you think? Or you're about to go under because of something you messed up? Don't worry, Peter. He knows where you are. He loves you. He loves you just the same. He loves you where you're in the boat, whether you're walking on the water or falling beneath it. He loves you. His love is not circumstantial like ours. It's an eternal love which does not change because of our failures. Wherever you are, may God strengthen you. May God strengthen you. May God help you to see your need of Him in this walk.
Let me read this to you before I let you go. To me, this is one of the great, great quotes of the message of the hour. Works as faith expressed, paragraph 327. Now, I can't make you believe, neither can you make yourself believe. God has to give it to you. It's a gift of God to believe, not your faith. God's faith. Your intellectual faith might believe it fine, but unless the faith of God is down in your heart, so your intellectual faith can accept, can do that. Just keep believing it with all your heart until God does reveal it to you. Just keep believing it until God does reveal it to you. So am I not supposed to believe? Sure you are. Am I supposed to study, listen to tape? Sure you are. But don't be satisfied and stop there. Oh, I've got it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Many of us have stopped there and it's not real to us yet. This is why this must be preached to you. So we say, Lord, make it real. Make it real. That's all you got to do. It's that simple. Throw your net over. Be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. God bless you, saints. Brother Louie, come and lead them in a song or two before we go. Appreciate the word of the Lord today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Your visitors that are with us, may God bless you. Appreciate you being with us. Be sure and greet your pastor for me when you go back home. And the saints, wherever you came from, Arizona, Louisiana, wherever you're from, we love you. If we don't see you again in this life, we'll meet you in the Rhema rapture.
I need more of you. That's the way it's got to be. I need more of you. Till there's no room left in me. Wasted hours.
Oh, sing it to him now.
They're yours now, from the start to the finish. I need more of you in me. Lord, I need more of you. That's the way. There goes now from the start to the finish.
God bless you, church.